This is Hackerspace Digest, episode number 9 for February 8th, 2011. Semi-weekly podcast recorded by members of Makers Local 256 in Huntsville, Alabama. Check out our website at makerslocal.org for more information. My name is Nathan. I go by Jim Shoe online. To my left is Brimstone.
I'm Matt. I go by Brimstone online.
I'm David. I go by Nicodemus online.
I'm just Tuttle.
I'm Alice. I go by Allie online.
My name's Tim, and I am Crash Cart.
This episode of Hackerspace Digest is brought to you in part by Cortical Systems, makers of such fine gaming accessories as Bioports and GamePods. Use the coupon code MAKERS for 25% off your next tooth gun.
So one thing about the sponsorship, there's no URL. Where do I go?
They didn't provide a URL.
Oh.
I'm just going to roll with that.
They're a mail order company.
Yeah. All right.
So how do you contact them?
I haven't really thought that far into it.
Okay.
Thought it'd be cute. Threw it in there.
Telepathy.
It's a 555 number. Just go with that.
There you go.
We'll put that in next time. So anyway, around the shop here, we like to do fundraising events. Well, really, we like to eat. I mean, more importantly, we like to eat pig.
I don't.
So last year, we did a pig roast. Alice, can you tell us more about that?
Well, actually, we've done two pig roasts. We did two last year. And
that's right.
Both times we had a whole lot of fun. One of our members, Pro, gets up crazy early in the morning and puts the pig over the fire, watches it all day. At first we had a spit, but now we're just turning it inside a grate.
We had a spit?
Yes.
It's the bar that you run through the pig.
Oh, okay.
And hold it up.
I thought we were spitting on the pig, and I was like, I don't think we should tell them that.
No.
Okay. I'm good.
We certainly wouldn't be doing that. This last time, I don't remember how many people we had, but it was
a lot.
A lot of people.
50 to 60 people show up,
and
which was great.
Thankfully, it was a very nice day, or we would not have fit them all in.
Right.
Beautiful November Saturday.
Yes, we were very lucky with that. Though really, the point of this isn't the pig roast, it's the tech expo that goes along with the food. I know everybody loves pig, but we're far more interested in what's happening.
David does not love pig.
You know,
he's over here shaking his head like, no, I don't love pig. Stop saying I do.
David, I don't love pig either. I was trying to throw a bit of sarcasm on that, but I do not love pig, especially bacon.
No, but it gets people here, and it gets them looking at our projects and the things we put together here.
So we lure them with the smell of pig.
Pig.
Okay. It's a good idea. Whoever thought of this was a genius.
And then we show off our projects. Yes. We had a lot of really cool projects out to show
off. Yeah, it was well organized this last time, and I hope it's just as organized this next time.
Well, I'm responsible for food, so all I can say is the food will be organized. But I'm sure the rest of it will go very well.
You had a sort of potluck style for the last one. I know you asked other members to bring in items.
That is the plan. I will be writing up a menu with open lines, asking for volunteers. Depending on how volunteerish people are feeling, I might be forcing volunteers. No, I'm kidding. I'm sure I will find plenty of volunteers.
So when is the shindig?
March 5th. Okay. That's a Saturday. We will start when it starts, probably late morning.
Right.
And food will be served when the pig is done. Also,
right
around lunchtime.
I'm sure there's going to be more information when it gets closer.
Yes.
I was just asking the date.
Yeah.
I know Pro showed up at like 2 a.m. or 3 a.m.
4 a.m.
last time. 4 a.m.
I was
way
here.
Too early a.m. last time. And the pig was ready to go by like 10 or 11, he said. And that was just half a pig last time on a grill type setup. It was really just a bunch of rebar that they welded together.
Made it here, one might say.
Yes.
Did it ourselves.
He also made a pit for it.
And like this year we're going to go for a whole pig, I heard?
I believe so. We were getting very low on food as the event ran down. Of course, we like to think that the event will get bigger and bigger each time.
Yeah. There's a lot of cars in our parking lot.
Yes.
And the street next to us last time.
gentleman, even a few people, I'm sure, but I remember it sticks out in my mind that one of the people that came to visit even brought their own project to show off in our parking lot, which was a lot of fun to see what other people in town are doing, kind of in our spirit of making.
Mm-hmm. Well, neat. So to start off your stories, I ran across this event called Thingaday, which is an open space that enables people to get together virtually and participate in a creative sprint to make one new thing a day and post it in a collective blog space, if I can learn to read. The project's initial inspiration came from the work of Z Frank, which has been around on, this guy's been around on the internet for a while. This is their fifth year. They try to do it every February. Everyone is encouraged to select either a weekly, monthly, or daily challenge or theme for themselves and get to work. So for this week, I saw that some people were picking a cooking-type theme for the second week of February and were showing off the different recipes they've made. Pumping Station 1 is keeping a log on their site, on their main blog, of the different things that they've done. There was a guy making a secret cabinet. People were soldering Minty Boost kits. People were playing with CHDK, which is the same open source firmware for Canon cameras that we used in the Hackerspaces and Space project.
Yep. So is this all making stuff physically? Or?
It's making something is the thing. It's very loose. It's not terribly organized. It doesn't have very strict requirements, I guess is the better way to say that.
Where is this?
It's wherever you want it to be. It was a project birthed out of the internet itself. So it's not, it doesn't
sounds
have...
Sounds like that hurt.
Yeah. It doesn't have a central location or a central funder or a single person that's driving the project. Somebody is paying for the thingaday.com website, obviously.
Do we know who?
I couldn't find it right off. If you go to their about, though, there's about five or six people that are named individually.
Cool.
So it's probably one of them.
I note that there's a gentleman at Pumping Station 1 knitting a scarf.
Oh, absolutely.
That's cool.
Absolutely.
As a knitter, I'm thumbs up to Tim, who's knitting a scarf.
I like that it seems to give people an excuse, basically, and that is a hard one for that motivation to get something done, and then just saying that we don't care what it is, we're just going to do something. We're going to produce. We're going to, I'm going to write a blog post today. I'm going to
create or innovate or something.
Yeah. We're going to post the podcast.
That's a good one, Tim. Yeah. Should go with that.
Definitely.
Also going through blogs and things, trying to keep up with the happenings of the internet, I ran across 091 Labs in Ireland, and they're doing a couple interesting things. The first one is a movie night. And I think this is going to become a monthly event. And they say it is back and that they did it before. I didn't look too deep to find logs of when they did it last. But what's interesting is that they're showing public domain films. So there's nothing for licensing or advertising that they have to worry about.
So this isn't quite like the thing we do here. Sometimes Friday night we may or may not do, and it's not really a public viewing.
Not a public viewing for what we do in... Right. What they're doing is they're actually advertising, hey, come out to the space, watch films with us. There's a film that went to the Slam Dance Film Festival. There's one that was created completely in Blender. So there's, a very wide range of different films that they're going to be watching. And it's interesting is that it's another tactic to get people to come out to the space to encourage people to show up and get involved in what's going on.
Oh,
and
of course.
To show the social side, because...
Exactly.
We can all go do our projects at home. The reason we're here is because people are here and it's fun.
Well, we used to... one of the other members used to put on a movie every other Friday night or something. We'd always watch a movie.
It was regular for a little while.
Yeah, it happened for a couple of months.
Yeah.
But it was...
Yeah.
And it really brought the people out. But the lights were off, and I don't know how much work got done.
The main light was off. There was plenty of laptops around working on things, too.
True.
In the virtual space, so to speak. He said he was going to start it back up, too, I believe, sooner-ish. It's okay. Kind of cold right now as Alabama tries to figure out what season it's in.
Yeah. It's winter, right? It's very winter.
Sure, seems like it's winter.
Snow.
Not right now.
Well, not right. We've had more snow.
Snowmageddon was coming.
Yeah, and some other spaces take better advantage of the fact that they have more room to work with. So even though you might be showing, I mean, our main room is pretty much all we've got that's useful right this second in the cold. So by tying that up with a movie, yeah, it seems like people can't then weld at the same time. But really, some spaces take advantage of that better than others.
Well, even like right now, as we're recording this podcast in the main area of our space, there's a few other people working on some other projects in the main space.
Very true.
There's music going that you can't even hear.
Right.
And there's a guy and welding in the back room.
That was a bad example, but so, yeah.
Yeah. Right.
But there are smaller spaces and there are bigger spaces. So.
But I think it would be a good idea to grab some public domain movies and actually publicize what we're doing, not just to the members, but to the general public to get them to come out. Because we've thrown parties and stuff like that before where we've watched, you know, maybe a movie or whatever. We didn't really publicize it, but we, you know, was like, hey, we're going to watch a movie.
Yeah, more just to our private member audience and stuff.
Right,
right. Well, that's cool.
Good idea.
Another thing that 091 Labs in Ireland is doing is a thing called a co-working day, where every Monday they invite anybody who can work remote or who does work from home to show up at their space and work on whatever project or company or whatever thing that they do to actually win bread for their family. And this is interesting in that the hackerspaces are a great place for this to happen. I don't know if it completely fits in with the philosophy of hackerspaces or the general philosophy. But the productivity on for-profit endeavors is something that's worth producing.
I wasn't sure what you meant.
Right.
Yeah. I understand now.
Yeah. A local city to us, Birmingham, does one of these things. Somebody from one of the startup groups, quote-unquote, sponsors it by saying, let's all meet at this coffee shop today or this Friday. Bring your laptops. There's plenty of Wi-Fi here. There's plenty of tasty bagels.
What does that how does that help you on your daily work? Like,
you get to pick your coworkers. For the day, you pick who's sitting next to you.
Okay, for one day. But, I mean, does that really make you a better worker? I mean, just put headphones on. Now your coworker's music.
It changes your whole environment that you work in, and it's something that much more that you can control.
It's also easier for some people that do work from home for real, that you have to make that separation that I'm at work now. And by having a place that you're actually going, and that's why some people do this at coffee shops and stuff.
Okay,
now I'm going to a place, I'm in work mode.
That makes sense. I was thinking more of like, I just don't go to the office one day, instead I go somewhere else.
No, work. This is already people who don't go to an office regularly.
Lucky.
Yes, lucky
home,
people.
You need something to break with monotony, you're doing
things. I understand.
Yep. It's like a mommy's day out.
And you get to choose your coworkers, apparently. Let's not forget that one.
To a degree.
Hey, that's important, man. If you get stuck with somebody who's... Well, anyway. Moving on, an interesting article came across the Hackerspaces Digest discuss Manless, I believe, first. Either that or it was in the channel. About a hack club starting up in New York, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting in that it's almost exactly the same thing that happens during hackathons. However, they didn't talk about hackerspaces at all. So I guess it's a parallel concept evolving in a very similar thread.
Well, I mean, there have been I heard years ago, I was watching the news, and there was a group of friends who got together, locked themselves in the garage for the weekend, and worked on creating a project. I mean, they called it like a lock-in or whatever. I mean, it's basically what a hackathon is. It's
Well,
the concept of community workshops has been around for a really long time. There's been
there have been and still are community centers in almost every major city around the world where people can come together and collaborate on various things, be it art, technology, sciences, and whatnot. And various groups have also done in the lock-in style, one night, do this or that for various amounts of time as well.
Yeah, we did not totally invent the concept, just the way we do it.
Oh, no, not at all.
Yeah. So it's not too surprising to see other groups. Wait,
do they have a space they're using, or
it seems like these hack clubs are far more sponsored than hackerspaces are, in that somebody donates a location for them to use for that night or the weekend or that Saturday or something.
Like a corporation or a person or
somebody who has a large enough resource available. I didn't look too much into it, unfortunately. It just seems like there's a large space. Lego gave this one hack club a lot of things to play with. The company Balls apparently sponsored things. There was several different, I guess, corporate backings involved with this endeavor that seemed to put me off a little bit.
Really?
Yeah.
Put you off?
Yes.
That there's a corporate agenda to it, or that there's
just the incredible amount of influence of other for-profit organizations bothers me, in that this doesn't seem to be so much done just create something and develop whatever you want or whatever interests you, in that it seems like it's more play with these kits that we provide and come up with something.
The examples you gave, like Balls and Lego, these seem like Balls itself, there's no real kit or anything designed. It just seems like you are associated with these projects generally as your subculture, energy yeah. drinks and creative yeah. building toys. Are there any other examples that you see influencing them of what they can and can't do?
Not that I've seen on the site. I didn't attend one of these events, though. All I have really is the articles about them to go off of.
Okay.
So I mean, it's not a very highly supported.
TI's been handing out dev kits for the MSP 430 like crazy lately. I mean,
yep.
But that's almost to anyone. That's not
right. But I mean, if we had an
organization,
we could easily have a hackathon based around the idea of, I don't know, hacking the MSP 430, or maybe
yeah, we could.
Making a 555, doing something with a 555 counter, like the,
or playing with the Eval bot that we talked about last time.
With sponsorships, it's not always we're going to give you this money and you have to do things this way. It's like, here, mention our product. Do you like it? Do you not like it? Tell us what you think. See what you can do with it.
Yeah,
that's true. It's advertising too for them. Whether you do something or not, we've just mentioned that Lego was giving out Mindstorms. You know.
Well, and the next hackathon, like the one we did last month, was the cupcake competition. This month, the one that's coming up here in a couple of weeks, is to create something with a 555 counter.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like a cool idea. I mean, if they can get people to come out and
yeah, I mean, if
and play with Legos
what's
or
getting
whatever
people to come
it is,
out, then yeah, because that's the important part.
really, it's
people
just
are having fun and doing stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I've read over the article, and it's actually really interesting. They give step-by-step instructions how to get started with this. I don't know that I like all of their ideas. For example, they say that food is optional. I think if you're pulling a bunch of geeks together, food really isn't optional.
You think they should provide food?
Well, the way they've put this together, it's a sponsored event. So yes, if
provide
you're doing
lunch.
A sponsored event, you've got to have snacks. But the steps can be modified to anyone's needs, really. They just point out, here's what you need to have at the end of the day to have a successful event, which is very useful, especially if one isn't used to putting on an event.
Yep.
They also set up a puzzle so that their guests had to solve a puzzle to find the event. I suppose you're going to get the people who really want to be there at that point.
Yeah, and it's not just open to Well, it's open to anyone, but not everybody's going to show up. Not just anyone.
Yeah, I think Google does that to get employees. They give like a quiz sometimes.
One of the local companies who does kernel or Linux kernel security and hardening actually had the email address to contact on their flyers was, I believe, hex encrypted or something. Very simple, but it wasn't just straightforward, call this number. It was solve these like three short math problems and take the result, and that's the number you need to call, and things like that.
Nifty.
So first you would have to recognize what the puzzle is.
Yes.
And then solve it.
They're already starting to weed people out with at the flyer even. So, and that, yes. Another story we've got is the Two Hands Project, who came and visited us 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago, August of 2009. So when they stopped by at our Hackerspace meetup to film and see what was going on.
What were they putting together?
They were putting together a documentary about hackerspaces around the U.S. And then they went dark for a while.
Yeah.
And then just a few days ago, we found they made a post to their main site that they have an editor who is the famed Jason Scott of TextFiles website. And he's going to be helping edit the film to get this thing rolling and pushed out the door finally.
So somebody's still trying to make that movie.
Apparently, on the website, there's still the four of them listed, and that they're still working on it, and now they've brought in another guy to help edit. And Jason Scott's done a couple of other films, I believe. He's done at least the one about the old early bulletin board systems. GetLamp, I think is what it was called.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's done that one that's been screened at just about every conference I've been to in the last year.
Yeah, that's one of those that's open source, or not open source, but
public domain.
Public domain.
We should do that one night.
Yeah, we should.
That'd be awesome. Random wiki finds, unfortunately. I didn't find any. Matt, anybody else find anything?
I found this page on Makers Local 256 website where they detail these podcasts that they're recording. You can go to their site.
Where would that? Where's that at?
It's at 256.makerslocal.org/wiki. And on the main page there's a link for Hackerspace Digest.
That's nifty. And it, like, lists all of the podcasts and everything?
It does.
Cool.
So those guys are smart. You can see what we talked about on each episode.
I would go look, but you're already on my RSS feed.
Well, there you go. We'll take that.
Right, but your RSS feed doesn't bring you the show notes.
That is true.
This gives you the show notes.
That is true. I'll have to go to the wiki while listening to the show.
It's just a randomly thought up wiki find, I guess.
So no one else has any crazy wiki finds?
No.
Okay.
Some things that I've seen on the wikis looking around is that a lot of spaces leave their wikis just wide open to registration and for editing.
Yes.
And thusly, then they get slammed by spam.
I like how we do ours, where members, everyone has access to read, members have access to write.
Yep. Right.
That's one of the allures of becoming a member here, is that you can get access to our wiki to document your projects. We get a lot of traffic to our wiki. We need to publish statistics about that, at least.
That'd be awesome. To help. Yeah.
I know I see something bots scraping our site all the time, and the logs hitting like talk pages that aren't available. Think so.
Talk pages aren't available?
Talk pages return 404s on the server if there's nothing there.
Okay.
MediaWiki is configured to return a 404, and that shows up in the Apache error logs.
Oh, okay. So I did not know that.
Sorry, that was me. No, I'm kidding.
That's fine. And some spaces have resorted to using CAPTCHAs and whatnot.
Oh, sure,
help cut down on some of this stuff. And just before the podcast, even.
I think the problem that I was having, I had a MediaWiki install, but it hasn't been updated in quite a while. So it might not be the CAPTCHA's fault, but I just recently got some spam that I have to go through and clean out.
Never breaking through your reCAPTCHA implementation.
Well, either that or you know, they were breaking through some other way and creating accounts by some vulnerability left that I haven't updated because it just sits out there. Anyways, so.
Yet again, we have to deal with unsolicited messages. So for upcoming events, there's a couple of things coming up. Two of them are hacker cons,
yeah,
for lack of a better term, or more descriptive term. There's one, Outer Zone 7 is coming up in March.
Woo!
In Atlanta, which
it's
is
one
a,
that we frequent.
We frequent that one. It's close, which is one of the big draws.
Yes.
It's free, which is another big draw.
Yes.
Donation-based. Donation-based, right. There isn't a set ticket price. It's in a reasonably good hotel. The location's pretty good.
Yeah. They give us a party room.
Yeah.
Just give it to us. Because they're like, don't party in your hotel room. Here's an extra room for partying.
I remember that came up after the police were called. Yes.
That's a good plan, actually. That means you can party with maybe 60 instead of 30 people.
Yeah, no, it was still 60 people.
Yeah.
It's just a small hotel room.
It's room
just,
for 60 right. people instead of not.
It's downstairs. It's away from all the guests so that the police don't get called.
It's conference room 2. Party is held. I'm like, give me a mic stand, goddammit, one day. I will fabricate one.
We will. Don't worry.
I don't.
Yep, there's several semi-famous people in the HackerCon scene that will show up and give talks free of charge without expecting anything. Doing it for the love and not the money, so
exactly.
to speak.
Some of them are rehearsing or recycling, but it's all good, and it's good fun.
Yep. I recommend, if people can get to that one, to go to it. It's in Atlanta. It's March. It's called Outer Zone.
Yeah.
I think it's outerzone.org.
I think it's .org. I don't remember off the top of my head.
Outer Zone with the O in Zone is zero.org.
Yes.
Okay.
And it starts, I think it's the 18th and 19th of March.
Something like that.
Sounds right. Also, we've got up in Cleveland, we've got Nauticon 8 going on.
Cleveland Rocks.
April 14th through 17th in the Hilton Garden Inn.
Are we going to that?
We're going to that one. We've got 5 people listed.
We need a sixth.
As soon as we get a sixth, hint, hint.
Somebody with a van that could drive.
When we get 6 people, we can get in on the group rate, which is only $65 a head as opposed to $75.
By the way, I was staring at Tim when I said this, just so the listeners know.
You weren't the only one, Nathan.
So somebody else here could go talk to my boss and talk him into it. Yeah.
Sure, I'll talk to him.
If that's what we need to do, sure.
Okay.
They don't know your boss.
There are two people at this table that know my boss.
We can work something out.
No, 3 people here at the table. Who know my boss.
I'm sure he likes money. All right, that's fine.
Yeah, this is a bigger con, a more, I guess, established con, if only by 1 year, over Outer Zone.
But I'm confused. It's not a con.
Exactly.
So what is it?
It's a conference.
It's a conference.
I mean, by every description you can come up with, they've got several talks. They start Thursday, but it seems like they do more ham testing and other makery, hackery type things on Thursday, and then they move towards the actual tracks and talks on Friday, Saturday. And then they wrap it all up Sunday, and we drive back. I'm not sure what to say much more about that.
I'm looking forward to it. That's all I have to say.
That should be fun. They've got one contest called Anything But Ethernet, where you must pass a message from one end to the other, I believe from computer to computer. I'm not completely up on the rules, but I know that some very crazy things have been done in the past. Barbed wire
that
has been
a lot of
part of a media transfer mechanism.
I've heard of I've heard of a protocol that's actually designed for like just metal wire, just any kind, and barbed wire was specifically referenced at one point. That's awesome.
So y'all are competing? Yeah.
If you guys want to, we can. Mm-hmm. I'm all for it.
Is there prep time beforehand that we're talking about? Or
we've got just over a month.
Oh.
Two months. It's in April, not March. Yes.
All right, we've got
2 months. We should at least put some thought towards it. Huh. I know. I believe one of the other things was that some guy had like a mindstorm lifting semaphore flags and using a camera to read yes. and interpret that from across the room.
That's excellent.
Could
That's
we do cool. the guy who did the Minecraft hack where he had real world stuff going on from Minecraft?
That would be funny.
Maybe. Have to look over the rules and see what we can get away with.
Yeah.
I think we should include an animal of some sort in it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm not sure.
Who's
like,
going
like
to
like birds, Tim? Birds.
Mog was suggesting
we should
ant
have birds
in
yeah.
like a pheromone trail or something.
That might
but
work.
We'll see.
Do you really want to carry ants to the con in the same car as you?
They'll be fine. We'll
sure.
keep them in a box.
Yeah.
We'll just pick them up there. Seat. Just put some sugar on the ground. They'll come. We'll be fine.
We're doing it live.
Okay.
Other upcoming events is the 555 contest, which is put on by Chris Gamble and Jerry Ellsworth of recent YouTube fame.
What do they do?
Sorry,
this is the first I've heard about it.
I know that Jerry Ellsworth does introductory videos towards basic electronic components.
Oh, absolutely.
Concepts.
She's done some crazy hacks in the past, too.
Can you elaborate more on that for us?
Well, I mean, she... Like building hacks, like some of the grabbing, building camera, the high-res cameras out of scanners and building
oh.
just crazy weird projects, almost mad science-y, but yeah.
I didn't know she was behind that, too.
I don't know that she's, not to say she's invented anything like that,
right,
she, but
right.
she's done videos like that.
At the last Freaknik we were at, there was somebody with a scanner-based camera that they were taking pictures
with. Don't remember that.
Pictures
That's
with.
Awesome.
So, yeah, but in this 555 contest, it's basically build something out of a 555 timer. Since that single electric component is almost 30 years old, they said, hasn't changed in the last 30 years, and it's still being used everywhere. They've got prizes for an art category, a complex slash extreme category, a minimalist and a utility category, and finally just an overall best in show. Anybody who enters will get entered into that category as well. All entries need to be due by March 1st. So.
Now, I know that there was some talk, like I said earlier, about the synchronized hackathon doing something with 555 counters. Is this part of that? Do you know?
I believe they were hoping that Hackerspaces would create something to enter into this
okay.
contest.
Okay. I don't know. I skimmed over the email, so I was hoping somebody else read more.
we need to prepare even more for this podcast, it seems. And lastly here, I have on, I think it's this upcoming Wednesday, Hive 76 is having another open house. But one of the interesting things that they'll be doing at this open house is creating a bioplastic out of cornstarch, water, glycerin, and vinegar. And then you microwave the whole thing. And then you can mold it into shapes or form it as needed, and you've created your own plastic structure. One of their suggestions was to pop it full of LEDs and have it beep and blink.
I'm so playing with that this Saturday. I have got to see that work.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, assuming that I don't have to work.
I would like to tinker with that, too. It sounds interesting, fun to do.
This was Hive 76?
Yep, Hive 76 out of Pittsburgh.
Excellent.
There has to be a recipe
so is this,
online.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Are they basing this on some scientific principle, I'm sure?
It's a simple cornstarch plastic, from what I understand.
Huh.
Nothing crazy, just these are simple concepts you can put together to... Or simple components to put together to create a plastic of something that one doesn't usually think that you can just create at home.
Very cool.
That's awesome. I have to see this work. I know I said that a minute ago, but I'm still very excited about that idea.
Well, I'm glad it inspired somebody here. Anything else?
Actually, yes. I should have brought this up earlier.
That's okay, just bring it on us.
This is supposed to go in the, probably random wiki finds, I'm not sure. But I don't know if you guys have seen this or not, something called openfarmtech.org.
No.
Tell us more.
Alice, you'd probably be the most interested, but I would hope that everybody else here would be interested as well. It's this group that is trying to develop open source technologies that allow what they call resilient communities to exist using permaculture, if you've heard of that, digital fabrication, and a lot of interesting technologies. Some of the things they're doing, let's see, some of their categories here are habitat for building homes, building buildings, things like that. Agroecology for getting food your basic support structure for life itself. Energy, so like solar power, steam engine stuff. They've got some of the manufacturing technologies that we like to do. Lathes, torch tables. That's a self-replicating one there.
A torch table?
Yeah, torch table.
I have to ask, what's a torch table?
Let's see. Let's go to the wiki here. Torch table. Their torch table is the open source industrial duty acetylene or plasma torch table. The torch table is readily adaptable to industrial duty routing. So,
oh wow!
Yeah, if you see there on the
routing with an acetylene torch,
right. Yeah. That makes sense, actually.
So they have a lot of these technologies that
awesome.
They've got prototypes for I think about 8 of them. They're actually finished with something called a compressed earth brick press, which just takes the local dirt at a site and turns it into bricks. They just
by compression instead of baking, kind of.
Right, and this thing will do it like 16 a minute, so like 5,000 bricks a day, which is enough for a home. So they're developing a lot of these technologies. One of the most interesting technologies that they've announced that they're working on is something they called open source aluminum, which is really interesting. And what that means is clay is aluminum silicate. And what they do is they use an acid, hydrofluoric acid, to extract the aluminum out of clay. So in this, you can imagine a small community just from the ground up, like a hackerspace, except dealing with everything, taking the clay from the plot of land and adding some acid to it and getting aluminum out.
So is the wiki kind of instructional? Or
The wiki has all their plans, all their open source plans. For instance, they have a tractor, open source tractor.
Nice.
And they have plans on how to build it step by step. And they'll also, I believe, they'll build it and sell it to you if you're interested. But they're mostly about trying to get this idea of sustainability, like for every level of living, like not just from the let's build a house out of cob or something, or let's grow our own vegetables. It's like every level you can think of, they want to enable a community to be able to do that. So it's a lot of really interesting technologies there, and
just boggles my mind that they've listed out everything needed to start a community.
Right, exactly. Like, Make Magazine had this green project contest. I don't know if you guys heard about that or not, but they actually won first place.
Excellent.
for this thing. It's called the Global Village Construction Set. And so their idea is to get this, sort of standard way of building a community from the ground up, being completely self-sustaining.
Getting at least one standard out there. Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's excellent. That's
interesting stuff, I thought.
Do they account for different climates or different environments?
To my knowledge, they actually have a one sort of on-the-ground example of it. It's called the Factor E Farm. I believe it's in Iowa or something. Let me see.
Oh.
No, I can't remember where
Road
it
trip,
is.
Anyone?
Right, right.
That would be cool.
And interestingly enough, like, if you did want to do that, if you wanted to help out at this Factor E farm, you could just go there and camp and, you know, you have...
Start running amok.
Right. Or you can, you know, start building a, you know, your own sort of living space there. And they're cool with that. And if you want to just, like, help out with the project, they're certainly looking for volunteers and certainly looking for money as well.
Who isn't? I mean that in a good way, though.
Of course.
Second thought, that sounded bad.
I'm impressed with the level of detail. Naturally, I had to go over to the wiki site. Mm-hmm. They give details on how to keep and harvest your animals.
Yes.
To step-by-step instructions... how to harvest a chicken. Interestingly enough, it's the same way my family did it when I was home as a child.
Right.
Just punch it until it yields an egg, right?
Just like in Minecraft?
This is not Minecraft.
Just like in Minecraft.
No. No, not like in Minecraft.
Oh.
Interestingly, the founder of this, I'm gonna butcher his name, Marcin Jakubowski, has recently been named a TED Fellow.
Excellent.
I believe he'll be speaking at TED here sometime soon.
Yeah, I'm seeing there's slides and there's video from a couple of years back on their site.
Mm-hmm.
Openfarmtech.org for those that didn't catch it the first time and had to Google it, like me.
We'll put it in the show notes.
This is pretty impressive.
I thought you might like it.
Hmm. Oh, crazy. There's just so much here.
Yeah, there's a lot of information here. But they do all sorts of crazy experiments. They've gotten in touch with some really pioneering inventors on steam power. You know, we always think of steam power as being, you know, something from the 1900s or whatever. But you know, they've got steam powered race cars that are pretty impressive. And you know, some of the developments in steam power are really interesting. They've been following that, and of course they're looking at all sorts of different technologies, 3D printers included. So they're
excellent.
You know, they're on the ball.
I like the idea of including the technologies like 3D printers in the real community building. You know, in the raw
in the
survival
foundation.
Stuff. Yeah,
right. I mean, they've got stuff for. Like, I think open source clothing or something is. They try and cover like all bases.
But so they didn't do a back to nature thing and throw technology out the window.
Right, exactly.
That's
yes,
very
exactly.
Nice. Exactly.
Right.
This isn't about being Amish. This is about.
Exactly, right.
Cool.
Not sustainability, not so much.
Yeah.
Zombie apocalypse.
Right.
Zombie apocalypse, yeah.
I mean, use the tools that you do have now, but also build some of the more advanced tools that you need to survive.
Right, and one of the main points of this is sustainability. So you do it yourself. So a lot of these things, like I say, are self-replicating. The lathe and the torch table, for instance, can lathe out their own parts or mill out their own parts.
Exactly.
Be sure to read this site before the zombie apocalypse, because it might not be up after.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm looking through the instructions on building a torch table, and there's a side note that the colors on the seals that you get may be different. Just the level of detail that they've already gone for some of these projects.
Yeah, it's really amazing. They just take so many good ideas and throw it together in one just really complete, you know, framework. Yeah, I look at it sort of like a hackerspace on crack. It's just...
a hacker community, yeah.
Right, yeah.
Hell, I still want to use something more than community. We call ourselves a community already, but like, hacker world.
Hackerspace,
I don't know.
Civilization.
Yeah, that's a good one.
The culture at that point.
Yeah, right.
Right.
Did you know you could make ethanol from sorghum?
I did not know that.
I didn't either. Right until I clicked on this link.
That's excellent. Wow. I thought you could do ethanol from most plant matter, just some
you
was
do
better than others.
Most things that will produce sugar.
Okay, yeah. Well, that is an excellent wiki find. Yeah.
Found a whole wiki.
It's not a find on a wiki, that's a find of a wiki.
Right.
That's
don't know where that's supposed to go. But.
No, that's good.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. If you have any questions, comments, or any thoughts, we'd love to hear from you. Please drop into IRC on Pound Makers Local on Freenode, or send us an email to podcast@makerslocal.org. You can find out everything about Makers Local 256, the hackerspace that puts this together semi-weekly, on makerslocal.org. See you guys later.
Have a good night.
Bye.